Good evening. We're going to continue reading now from 2 Samuel, from verse 37, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. You provide a broad path for my feet, so that my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely, and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust on the earth. I pounded and trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the peoples. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever.
Good evening. How are we going? Thank you. Yeah, good. Cool. So last time, I think it may have been the last time I stood up here and shared from Scripture from Samuel. It was a really gritty, really, really difficult passage to work through. It was gritty, wasn't it? Yeah, because I think you followed up as well with another one. I saw this passage and I thought, awesome. It's actually a really, really beautiful. It's not to say that the last passage wasn't beautiful as well, but this is such a beautiful passage. And when I read through it, my heart sang because it was just such a beautiful passage. And I really hope that you we'll see it in the same light. So let's pray. Father, as we come before you and read through your word, Lord, I pray so much that our hearts will be open. Father, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Convict us, motivate us, remind us where we need to be convicted and reminded. Father, share with us what you would want us to know and understand and to put into practice as we walk out these doors, Father. Lord, be with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan. So every year, so it's a yearly thing, sometimes twice a year, I'll do all the extended. So yes, the extended has to be extended versions. At least once a year, if not twice. And I'll throw in The Hobbit there sometimes if I feel like it as well. But when I read this passage, it reminded me of a bit of a scene. So I thought of The Lord of the Rings, because in Lord of the Rings, there's quite a few battle scenes. So for those who have seen it, it's quite epic. It's a visual sort of epic scene of battles. But within these battles, there's quite often, I mean, there's all sorts of different, they've got elves, but there's often giants in there as well. And when I read through this passage, I thought, and looked at the previous chapter, we have this scene of giants in battle. And it's in this context that I want us to read through this chapter 22. So if we just skip back a little bit to the end of chapter 1, and it's flowing on from what David shared with us last week, but just skip back just a little bit to the end of chapter 1. We have this epic scene of David once again in battle. Now, this is a battle-hardened guy. He's been in, you know, wars and battles his whole life, yeah? And you may remember the story of him as a young boy being chosen out of all of his older big brothers. And then eventually he came before that giant Goliath. And he stood before him, this young kid, and took out this. Now, I don't know if you knew this. I looked it up because I'm thinking, how tall were these giants? How tall was Goliath? And apparently they were around 9 foot tall. So we're talking nearly 3 meters. So we're talking big guys, yeah? And so this little kid, this young guy, took out this massive, massive warrior. And here we are again, the end of chapter 21. So David, he's now in his, I guess, senior years. He's been king for quite a long time. And he's standing before the Philistines again. So same mob as Goliath. And he's now facing Goliath's, I guess, cousins and brothers. And so his family of these giants are in this battle as well. And David, being David, he's like, yeah, let's go. Let's bring it. So he had that same passion and zeal and trust in God, that God was with him and he's going to take on these giants. But his closest soldiers, his men, some of them were related, they said to him, oh, hang on, David, just you're getting a bit on. You're looking exhausted. Just step back and let us step in your place. And even one of them said in verse 20, in still another battle, once again there was another battle between the Philistines. And David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. And then one of the guys said, look, step aside. This isn't going to work. So David stepped aside and these four men, one after another through different battles, stepped in and they actually killed these giants who would dare come against King David. So that's the context of where David comes into this this song of chapter 22. And this song is a song ultimately of praise. See, David, again, over the course of his life, he's gone through all these battles. He's gone through so much. And if you read through his history, you can see he's been in a lot of really tough predicaments. But every single time, God has been with him and has brought him up out of those dark times and those hard places and protected him. And so David here, he's recognizing that. He's reflecting as he's nearing the end of his life, I guess, he's reflecting on all the times that God has actually been with him. And this song comes deep from within his heart and his soul out of just absolute adoration and praise and recognition of his God. David, first of all, in this scripture, in this passage, he recognizes that God is his deliverer. Let's read through some of this together. David sang to the Lord the words of this song. This is verse 1. Sang to the Lord the song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So remembering as well, his own king tried to kill him. So before David became king, he had Saul chasing him around, trying to kill him as well. But God saved him and protected him. David goes on to say, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. From violent people, you saved me. Now, there's a word there that you may have picked up on, and I had to look up what this actually meant. He mentions the horn of my salvation. Now, that's, I guess, for us, like, we don't understand necessarily that culture that it was in, and what is this horn of salvation? And I looked it up, and someone wrote, what David meant by this is the horn here is a symbol of the saving power of the king. So by declaring God as his horn of salvation, he is saying that God is his strength, the king of all kings that saves. He continues on, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled around me and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. So there's this really visual representation of where David's heart is and recognition of he's been in some really, really deep, dark places and God has been his refuge every time. And even though those waves of death swirled around him, God protected him. In verse 7, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. Yeah, he heard David. He heard his cries. His cries came to God's ears. What a really encouraging thought, isn't it? That for us as well, we can join in on this passage right here. We can join in on this verse. That we too have that opportunity to cry out to God in the depths of our heart, in those moments where we just have complete despair. We too can cry out to God and our cries will reach his ears. David then goes on to he explains how he's feeling and the way he sees his God. And again, it's just this amazing visual. So in verse 8, the earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of heaven shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him. The dark rain, clouds of the sky. So just picture this image of God. And when I read this, it was just this powerful moment of actually recognizing God in that light as being all-powerful, almighty, all-consuming, this huge creator God that has the power to part waters and make the earth tremble. Out of the brightness of his presence, this is in verse 13, bolts of lightning blazed forth. Yeah. So again, I'm sort of thinking of I'm going back to the movies that I've seen, and that helps me visualize this just unfathomable scene of God. The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the fountains of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils. Yeah, so there's this, David's presenting us with this really big epic scene, and it's quite, I don't know, in some ways it's sort of nearly a little bit terrifying in one sense, thinking about God in this way. There's this, it is quite a terrifying image if you really sort of look at it. But then all of a sudden, David, he switches it, and we come to this really amazing, quite beautiful image of God. In verse 17, he writes, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of disaster, but the Lord, he was my support. He brought me out of into a spacious place. He rescued me." And get this, how beautiful is this? "He rescued me because he delighted in me." What a beautiful image to have this, like I said, for me it was this nearly terrifying image of God. And then all of a sudden, there's this beautiful image of him. God in all of his power and splendor and majesty, and this creator God who created the whole universe and us, who could wipe us out with the snap of his finger, bent down and scooped up David in his hands. Why? Because he delighted in him. What a beautiful revelation for David to have that, that his God would bend down and scoop him up because he delighted in him. We too can be encouraged by this, that that same God, this same God who we've seen throughout the Bible, these amazing things that God has done with David and Moses and countless others, these epic scenes, and that same God will also scoop you up. Because he delights in you. He delights in us. What a beautiful image David presents. As we move on, David also recognizes the importance of trusting in God. In verses 21 to 30, and I'll just skip through some of this because it is a big passage. Verse 21, The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I've kept the ways of the Lord. I'm not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I've not turned away from his decrees. If you were here last week and listening to the message that God spoke through David, we hear about how David actually corrected some wrong that was made throughout. Even though David's, and we know he's made some mistakes, he's not without sin. And even though David uses these words, "because of my righteousness," he wasn't saying that he was without sin. He recognizes that he falls short of God. What he's saying here is, "Lord, I've hung in there. I've kept your word. I've turned to you. I've trusted in you, God. Always. Look, God. I've always trusted in you." And God recognizes that he did trust in him. in verse 22, sorry, moving on, in verse 26, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the devious you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. So here again, David's recognizing that it's God that is his strength. It is only God. Only God. In his power and his strength and his grace that enables David to be able to overcome his enemies. David also recognized that it's also important to obey God. And throughout this scripture, we have this image of David again saying to God, look, I've followed your ways. I've followed your law. I've trusted you, God. I've obeyed you. Moving along down to verse 47. We again have this image of David praising God. See, for me, at the heart of this passage is this message of praise, a song of adoration and worship to God. David, again, is just pouring out his heart to his God. Listen to his words. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Possibly speaking about Saul there. Therefore I'll praise you, Lord, among the nations. I'll sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Do you notice there that David, when he's ascribing all these things to God, do you notice he's saying, my God? You are my rock, my Savior, my God. He's not saying you're the God, the rock. Yeah, which is true. This is a personal, deep personal thing between God, David and his God. It's not just David spitting out some theology and head knowledge and understanding of God. David has come to a place where he has this deep personal relationship and connection with God. And this whole song is just him pouring out that adoration to his God. And again, when I read this, it nearly felt like David was in his passion as he's writing this down, whether he wrote it or someone else wrote it. Regardless of that, as David's expressing himself, I nearly got this image of him sort of nearly tripping over his words. It's nearly like he couldn't get enough out to describe what God means to him personally. You're my rock, my God, my Savior. Praise be to my God. I wonder if that's an encouragement for us as well, that we can come to that place as well where it's not just perhaps that head knowledge and of God and who he is, and but maybe we can come into that place just like David, where we can say, my God, my Savior, my refuge. If we fast forward about 1,000 years, I know it's a big jump, around 1,000 years, we have this story of this guy called Jesus who was born and walked the earth. And within that story of this man, Jesus, we soon come to find that he was actually our Savior that was sent by God to be our Redeemer, our Savior, and our King. You see, David was just but a mere reflection of the true King that was to come. And David, at the end of moving into chapter 23, David actually recognizes that God has promised that his descendants will come the eternal King. As I read through this scripture, I couldn't help but notice and reflect on, well, how does Jesus, where can I see Jesus in this? I know that, you know, sometimes we forget to connect Jesus. But in here, it became glaringly obvious to me that Jesus is very much present in this passage. Jesus is also our Redeemer, our rock, our fortress, our Savior. I want to encourage, if you're age 0 to 150 here, so I hope that doesn't exclude anyone. If you're age 0 to 150 or even older, I want to encourage you, and young people here, I want you to take heart of this as well, because I know sometimes, I still remember being, you know, young, and I know it was a while ago, but I know sometimes I'd sit in church and I'd hear sermons and you'd hear all these big stories about, you know, King David and Moses and all these amazing stories, and sometimes, well, quite often, I just didn't quite connect because I didn't feel like that was related to me, or you know, it wasn't for me, it was for the older people. But I just want to encourage, whether you're 5 years old or 10 or 15, if you're sitting here right now, yeah, or whether you're 100, I want you to be encouraged that this passage is for you as well, that this story is for you as well. Yeah, because David, when he first wrote this, now, I'm not sure if you knew this, but this song here, David actually wrote something very similar. It's nearly word for word, and it's seen in Psalm 18. David wrote this when he was younger. And now he's reflecting on it again, his journey. But I want you to take this and see this as something that you can hold on to as well. That not only did God come to save David and protect him and scoop him up in his hands, whether you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 100, that God, that same God, wants to scoop you up in your hands. Jesus came and was born. And as we know, we've just recently come out of our Easter messages. We heard about how Jesus hung on that cross for us. So that we could have that same relationship David had with his God. Jesus made that connection for us to be made right with God. There's been and I'm sure maybe some of you may relate to this as well. There's been plenty of times that myself, and I'm sure, and like I said, probably a lot of us have been in some really tough times. Maybe there's been times that you've been in deep despair. And I reflected on those times that I found myself in just utter despair and low places. And at times I even struggled to see where God was in those moments. Still trusted in him, still had faith in him, but it was hard. It was hard to see him in those spaces. There was even a time, and I may have shared this story once before, but I'll share it again. There was a time where I even was in such despair, and I actually walked away from the church when I was about 18 for many reasons. Still had that trust in God, still, but it was hard. And I wandered around for about maybe a year, maybe 2 years, just wandering, lost and alone, crying out to God, "I need you." Until one day I ran into my friend Clint. Clint at high school was, let's just say, he was in a crowd that often got into trouble, and sometimes the police would come to school to pick him up for having certain things in his locker. So he was sort of in that crowd. And me, well, I was that Jesus boy, as he would call me. I was that Jesus boy that had scripture on my pencil case, and I'd share my faith with him, and because I was pretty crazy and radical like that as a teenager. But it wasn't until some years later when I was 20 and I was in this place of despair and just crying out to God, you know, "Lord, scoop me up." I ran into Clint. Hadn't seen him since high school. And he was so excited to see me. "Hey, Lucas, how are you going?" And, you know, we were sort of chatting. And he goes, "Hey, man, like, you know, where do you go to church?" I said, "Oh, I don't go to church anymore, Clint." He goes, "Oh, I've just become a Christian." He goes, "Do you want to come to my church?" And I was like, "Oh, geez." Okay, so I went and never left. I was at that church for a number of years, got married to Cheryl there. And, you know, life's still been tough since then. I've been in despair many times since. But the point of this is that I get it. I get where David's coming from, because I've been in places of despair, but despite my weakness, and I was weak, yeah, it was not my strength that pulled me up out of that place. It was God. When I called upon him, he scooped down, scooped me up in his arms, and still had me. I wonder if all of us here, both you and me, I wonder if we can come to a place, and I hope and pray that we all can, I hope and pray that whether you're 5 years old and 10 and 15, yeah, and 100, I pray so much that you and I can come to a place and we just can cry out, my God, my God, you are my God, you are my Savior, my Redeemer, my King. May that be on our hearts. May that be something that we strive for, to cry out to God in absolute praise and adoration for all that he's done, all that he is. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this song of David that you placed in his heart, Lord, for all that you did for him. Lord, I thank you for being his strength. I thank you for being his Redeemer. I thank you for, Lord, scooping down and picking him up, Lord, and being his stronghold, being his place of refuge. Lord, I thank you that through your Son, Jesus, who you sent to bridge that gap between us and you, Lord, who died on that cross, Lord, and then rose again and defeated death, Lord, so that we may also have that same relationship with you, God. Father, I thank you so much. And we cry out, my God, my God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.